is at 7 o'clock. Call the June 16th, 2014 DRB meeting to order. Roll call.
Carolyn Adams. Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Eric Mott.
Here.
Scott Russer. Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
Okay, looks like we have one reading of the minutes, or approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look over the... Has it really been since January? It has been. Wow. Okay. January 6th, 2014 minutes.
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and approved. I'm sorry. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? January 6th minutes approved. Next item is the announcement agenda. We have just one item tonight, the conceptual design conference for the Eastside Preparatory School. That's it. Any requests from the audience on any matters not pertaining to the topic tonight? I assume none. Therefore, let's proceed to the conceptual design conference. I'll turn it over to John Regala, Senior Planner, who will
proceed. So good evening, John Regala with the Kirkland Planning Department, and tonight is the Conceptual Design Conference for the Eastside Prep School expansion for their new gym and science building. File number is DRV 14-00876. So I'll go ahead and begin with a brief presentation on the project, give some background information on the zoning as well. Then I'll turn it over to the applicant, who will then present kind of their objectives and program for the new building, discuss the massing alternatives, and also include the preferred option. The applicant for the project is Eastside Preparatory School, who's represented tonight by Jeff Boone with Public 47 Architecture. And they are proposing to demolish two one-story buildings near the southern portion of their site, and in its place construct a new four-story building to be 60 feet tall, hold their science classrooms and labs for chemistry, physics, biology, include a gym, as well as faculty space. Now the subject property is located within the Lynbrook Office Park, which is outlined here in red. And Eastside Prep, I think it was in 2006, purchased the southern half here, and the two buildings as part of this project are located here. And the property fronts on Northeast 38th Place. Across the street, you have the South Kirkland Park and Ride with a new TOD that's currently or nearing completion in this location here. You can see the kind of city limits. Here's between Bellevue, kind of does that. And then you're adjoining, the property itself adjoins a couple office buildings here. You have La Quinta, some restaurants here. And here's a little bit more close-up view of the site plan. So Eastside Prep owns buildings 15 through, it looks like, 24. Surface parking lot. A couple years ago, the city approved a modification to the previous zoning permit to allow an outdoor play area in this location here. Now back in, 2011, the subject property was originally previously zoned FC3, which is more of a freeway commercial designation. As part of the 2011 rezone, the goal was to really transform this area, which consisted primarily of like a suburban, large office park kind of district, into a more dense residential and commercial pedestrian-oriented business district, hence the YBD3 zoning. Here I've noted the increase in the heights, so you can get a sense of the relative heights between the different zones. And as part of the zoning, the requirements for the YBD3 requires that new projects go through design review, and that's why we're here tonight. The DRB's authority is to review for consistency with the design guidelines for the Arrow Bay Business District. And there's a two-step process. We're here tonight for the first step, which is the conceptual design conference, which is kind of this preliminary meeting with the DRB to get feedback as the project moves to the design response conference, which is the more formal public hearing or public meeting for this project. In terms of building permits, the applicant may submit a building permit at any time during this process, but with that accepted risk of potential changes that could be requested by the DRB. And then the size of the project will require environmental review, or SEPA. That is a separate review that's conducted by staff, and that's primarily, that review revolves around transportation and transportation-related issues like pedestrian safety and so forth. So we'll be undergoing that process separately. But in terms of the decision of the SEPA, we will need to make sure that it coincides closely to the Design Review Board's decision to ensure that there's only one appeal hearing in case either decisions are appealed. The zoning regulations for the YB3 zone are fairly straightforward as far as permitted uses. School use is an allowed use. As I mentioned earlier, it does allow for a variety of commercial, retail, office type uses, as well as residential. I'd like to point out one mistake here. The setback from Northeast 38th Place is actually zero. It's also zero from if you're adjoining Northrop Way. Otherwise, it is 20 feet. So thank you, Susan, for pointing that out. The height maximum is 60 feet, lot coverage 80%, and then we will be requiring more detailed information as part of either the SEPA or the building permit review in terms of how many parking stalls need to be provided with this project, if any, and as well as tree retention. I'd like to highlight one of the constraints of the property has to do with how it was originally platted. You'll notice here, so this is the southern half of the property. Here's the subject, here are the two lots that are being redeveloped. So each building really, in a sense, just each building matches the footprint of the parcel. How do you say that? The parking area, the driveways, the play area are all in this common area tract. So when when the buildings are demolished, the applicant is limited in terms of how far or where they can actually construct the building. They do have the option to modify these lot lines, but that would involve a plat alteration process, which is a public hearing with the hearing examiner, and they probably need buy-off from all the property owners within this park.
To clarify, John, so the building footprint of lots
matches
19 and 20 is what you've
highlighted right here. Right.
Highlighted, and any change now requires 80% coverage, maximum 80% coverage for that.
So the lot coverage is actually based on the entire Lynbrook office park.
Oh, I see.
So we've always been we have the total lot coverage for the entire site, and as changes occur, we make sure we update that. Yeah. So it's based on the entire office park. So as you begin your discussion tonight, what I've done to also help, I've kind of gave you a list of these topics. So as you discuss, you can certainly follow that. And really it deals with the guidelines as they relate to building scale and massing. Okay. So what are the key advantages? What are the appropriate techniques to mitigate bulk and mass? Second has to do with pedestrian orientation. In this case, it would be the students. You know, how does the building relate to these areas? Is there opportunities for plazas? How does the project engage pedestrians? Where are these key connections on the property? And then lastly, has to do with open space and landscaping. Really there, just what are the options there for open space and landscaping? So at the conclusion of the meeting, the DRB should provide feedback to the applicant in terms of their building design and their preferred massing option, and then also provide feedback as far as what you'd like to see in terms of drawings, models, etc. With that, unless there's any questions, I'd like to turn it over to Jeff.
Okay. Just for the record, let it be mentioned that Scott Russer has arrived. So we have six.
Great. Thanks, John. Again, my name is Jeff Boone with Public 47 Architects. Very proud to be a part of the Eastside Prep team. I want to introduce some people in the audience just so everyone knows some of the team members. I have Danielle Rawson, who is also with Public 47, an integral part of the design team. Jeff Sterninski, he's with Eastside Prep and project manager on the project. Bob Baldwin, also representing Eastside Prep in the construction process. And then Ann Giggy with Hillis Clark, land use attorney. So thank you all very much. It's a beautiful evening to be inside, so I appreciate you being here. We're very excited to be a part of this project, and it's a great opportunity for Eastside Prep to build a new science and gymnasium for their campus, but also to help elevate their campus. As you heard, they're part of a facility that was designed as an office park, not necessarily as a campus. So John ran you through most of the site, so we'll be a little bit redundant here, but the campus is outlined in yellow, and the buildings that we're demolishing are the yellow, the project site. One thing to note in the context is that there is quite a bit of topography as you move up the hill towards the residential areas. Each topographic line in this diagram is about 10-foot contours. So there's a pretty significant grade change down into the 520, which is a little bit more of a gully. Here's a figure ground of the context. Again, the Lindbrook Office Park is here. The new park and ride across the street. There's a significant surface parking with the office buildings around the perimeter. You do start to get residential as you go up the hill into Kirkland. The zoning is very commercial based. We have the Yarrow Business District on the Kirkland side, and then just on the Bellevue side we have commercial business and office, and then some residential zones uphill from the site. This is just showing some of the tree coverage and giving you a sense of the solar access. There's actually quite a nice solar possibilities in this site. We have north is on the diagonal of how they laid out the office park, but we get nice access to light during most of the school year. And obviously the tree canopy is much more dense as you get towards Lake Washington. And this is, you know, in a sense, recovering from another era of development. This diagram shows some of the access points. Obviously, the main access is off 38th with the vehicle access off of that. And then once you get into the campus, You'll see in some of the aerials that it looks like there's a road that goes around. There is fire access around here, but this is a play court and really just pedestrian only, except for in the case of emergencies. And this just gives you a sense of the context. Obviously, it's a little bit outdated without the commercial development at the new transit station. The goals of this project are pretty simple. We want to create a high-quality learning environment. We want to create a building that creates the framework for these teachers to do the amazing job they're doing and let these students learn in an environment that gives them the most flexibility, the best daylight. And really, an important part, is this reconnecting this campus or invigorating this campus, which really wasn't meant to be occupied as a school. It was several different condominium office buildings. And so the connections, there's some possibilities there to invigorate the connections, and we hope this building can do that. And then also the program is an unusual program. It's a mix of a gymnasium athletic facility with science, and we hope that in this process we can create a really dynamic school design with this mixed program. Looking at the campus a little more closely, so this is the side of the buildings that we are replacing. As you enter, the main entry is here off 38th. And you come in, the administration building is the first building you see, but they've recently redeveloped their commons. The commons is where the kids eat their lunch. They can do performances. It's set up so they can have theater productions there. And outside of that is their kind of central outdoor gathering place. That's where a lot of the kids eat lunch. And then from there you have middle school and upper school classrooms with different little pathways that connect all of them. But what we've noticed is as you come into the campus, really the commons is the heart. And this pedestrian path down to the exterior play court, their only athletic facility on the campus, is really the kind of predominant pedestrian path. Students do move through the buildings to get to each other and around the buildings. But this we see as kind of the strong pedestrian moment in the campus. Again, this portion back here is not used as parking. As you saw in the site plan that John showed at the beginning, it really is just fire access, and it's reserved for the kids as an outdoor play structure. So parking stops here, and parking stops here, and you'll see that they use this for bus parking, the back, this last bit of parking here. A little bit dark, but an aerial of the site. Here's the project site. You see the outdoor play court and the parking surrounding. And then the commons space is here in the middle. This is a view looking at our project site from that fire access point back here. This is the hotel to the south, La Quinta. Very dark, but this is the business office building across from the play court. Here's the central commons, the outdoor central outdoor place, and this is our building. And really we see this as the kind of primary approach to the project and the kind of signature moment of the project as it gets developed. These are some other context photos, gives you a sense of the campus and the pathways that currently exist. This building's just to the northwest of our site. This is the commons from a different vantage point, the admin building, and some of the pathways around the campus that we see as an opportunity to enhance. The other thing that needs to be stated, our project site is constrained to those parcels, as mentioned earlier, and at this point the school does not have the ability to grow their campus, so they are working within the property they have. And so the ambitions for the project, for this parcel, are significant relative to the footprint we have. And so we wanted to walk through how we're looking at integrating these program pieces into the parcel. We have the gymnasium, we have science labs and classrooms, amphitheater, and then some common space and circulation space. And this is our zoning envelope on a diagrammatic level. So to do that, one of the first moves we're looking at is to take some of the spaces that don't need as much daylight and putting them below grade. We're looking to save money by not having to excavate, so we're starting to pull back that basement level away from the adjacent buildings, and that then creates an opportunity by natural topography to create an amphitheater that relates back to this common space. So this is a significant part of the project in terms of connecting this outdoor common space to a multi-purpose room within the building that becomes a natural progression between inside and out, and hopefully invigorates both spaces. We have commons and circulation space. One of the things that the school finds is that because they're in office buildings, they don't have a lot of gracious common areas within their school building, so spaces for kids to just have independent work study projects outside of the formal classrooms. So we're looking at the circulation space as being kind of an extension of their learning environment. We have the dark labs, they have a green screen room, and some maker fabrication spaces that we'll put below grade, but use that multi-purpose room that double-height multi-purpose room to bring some daylight down in there. We have science labs, which are really kind of the core of their curriculum and their culture and the project. So those are at the ground level, a very visible component of the facility. Commons and circulation space, as I mentioned. General classrooms. And then we get to the gymnasium and fitness center. And the, this parcel is actually very constrained for the fit, for the gymnasium. So the gymnasium really kind of fills the envelope, at least on this portion of the parcel where it narrows down. The gym is really kind of at its tightest that you want to go. So looking at some alternatives, and John, tell me if I'm going too slow ever. Or, okay. So we're just going to walk you through the thinking on the potential massings and how they're eroded or manipulated. So with alternative one, this is our zoning envelope. So this is the exact footprint of the parcels extruded to the height limit. And then we're looking at ways to reinforce this pedestrian circulation by carving away a protected pedestrian-oriented pathway that connects down to the play courts. Pull back where we don't need the width for the gym, potentially pull back some of the mass to give some relief. And reduce the height of the commons, which is the circulation space up through the building, and becomes, at the gym level, it becomes the spectator space. But one thing to note is the gym, it's not an ideal spectator space for the gym because it's only part of the length of the gym. And then pulling back also at the building entry coming off of the commons. And so this gives you a sense of the view. This is the view from the commons. One of the things that happens in this facility is because of the proximity of buildings, we do have some fire separation issues. So the wall at the higher level of the gym, if we do not step it back at these upper levels, becomes harder in terms of getting windows into those classrooms. So that it potentially becomes a more solid wall, and most of the windows would be oriented toward, back towards the commons. This is a view from the fire access side, the southeast side of the building. You can see the commons bump out, which provides access to the gym and a fitness mezzanine as well.
What is the slot?
What's that?
There appears to be a slot in the building.
Yeah, we are looking at ways to potentially just give some relief. You know, we haven't gotten into the details of it, but potentially we need to have some mechanical louvers, so we're looking at maybe giving some articulation to that facade by kind of organizing the mechanical systems, or maybe we pull back the entry at that point. That was some of the thinking on this. So this responds to the campus network. And gives the gym some width, but we have issues with the fire separation in particular. And the southeast portion of the massing is not as ideally functional for the gym, as I mentioned about the spectators. This project's a little bit different than others you probably deal with because we're not able to move this building within the campus. We're just trying to work within the confines of our parcel, as John mentioned at the beginning. So alternative two, start with a zoning envelope. Here for the fire separation, we are looking at pulling back that northwest side of the building. Again, providing some relief in the mass at the gym. Carving out an entry that responds to the commons and the primary approach to the project. Giving some covered walkways for these students that are moving between buildings and along throughout the campus. And you can see here then we can provide a little more transparency in those classrooms in the gym by pulling back that massing. If you recall, before we were, our property bumps out, the parcel bumps out, and so that original scheme, we were pulling out the face here, which starts to get a little too close to this building to have many windows, as mentioned. And the backside massing is very, very similar. I should say southeast side, not necessarily backside. So we relieved alleviated the issue with the fire separation, and we created a little more efficient construction of the scheme, given that we're not cantilevering out the gym on the upper floors. But again, the height, bulk, and scale is a little less differentiated, especially on that southeast portion of the masking. So this is the preferred alternative. Again, alleviating the fire separation issue by pulling back the massing at the pedestrian walkway on the northwest portion of the building, so we can get windows into all those classrooms and into the gym. And we took a little different approach to the commons and circulation and elongated that along the southeast side of the building, kind of narrowing its bump out to the south. Oops. So you can see that previously it was bumped out farther, so we elongated it. Carved out the entry off of the common. Excuse me. And again, this is also the access to the multi-purpose room, which terraces down into the basement level. Looking at covered walkways and some canopy elements, and, you know, this is something we're exploring and trying to give some scale to the facility, but primarily give pedestrian coverage, weather protection, and in particular along this pathway back to the play court. And we even then pulled in the building, again, trying to give a little more differentiation within the mass. So you start to create a base, middle, and top, without having to carve into the gym space where we're really constrained by the envelope, give a little more weather protection at the ground level for the pedestrians. And then in that, we provide more opportunity to have windows in the classrooms in the gym. The windows have a nice orientation for classrooms. Northwest, you want more north light for classrooms. The west light for most of the school year will not hit the classrooms during school hours. And then the common space on the south side has daylight coming from the southeast. We also pulled, so if you recall, we stretched out the common space across to create this covered outdoor space on the southeast portion of the building. That then provides access around the gym, so it gives a little more relief to our gym, where we're very pinched, and also gives some more articulation potential to this side of the building. So the advantage is, you know, again, trying to enliven the campus, create weather protection, create some differentiation within the massing, and by doing some canopies, some pulling back of the mass at the ground level, increasing transparency along the pathways. In that, we have some challenges that we're working through in terms of the cost of construction. We need to be very efficient given the budget on this project. And so some of those challenges are what we're working through as well. So this just summarizes the three alternatives. So thank you, and look forward to your questions.
Questions? Eric, do you want to start?
Sure. I have a question. On alternative three, the commons space where it engages the gym, how did you accomplish that? Dimensionally, is that outside the parcel boundary, or
it is? So, as part of the PUD, as part of their their overarching agreement. They provide you some relief to go into track A, as you recall from John's parcel map. You have some ability to go into track A if it's primarily for access within the building or between buildings. They use some examples such as sky bridges, elevators, breezeways, things like that. So we're making use of that provision to overhang some of that parcel at this portion of the building. And we're not using the whole rest of the parcel. We've kind of pulled back. Let me see if there's a... We've pulled back this portion. So we're not, you know, creating more envelope or more less open space. We still have more open space. Sure. And it's happening at the upper levels. In fact, what we're looking at, this is showing it just happening on one floor. Most likely it actually will, this will actually not be enclosed space here. We'll actually do this two stories and just do it at the gym level, where that access is really important for that gym to function more safely.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. That was my question.
Okay. Scott?
How do you keep the noise from the third level bothering all the classrooms on the second level?
That's a great question. Sorry. That's a great question. It's one of the significant challenges of the project. We have an acoustical engineer on board, and we've been doing testing. I don't know if you all know the Northwest School project in Seattle, where they just recently built a gym on the upper levels. We just went there recently and did testing. So there's a premium in the assembly to make sure those floors are separated acoustically, and so we're working through that. And it's basically you're layering that assembly so that you're mitigating the sound of the bouncing balls more than anything else. So, and just to explain, they don't have anywhere else to put a gym on their campus. They currently rent gym space. So this is, they're willing to pay that premium to be able to build on their campus a gymnasium. Yeah.
Okay. Susan?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Sort of back to the Tract A and understanding that better. How does that work? So if you have to make changes to parking or other aspects of that open space, does it have to be calculated and looked at for the entire Tract A? I'm just curious. I don't know how a condominium office building, office park works. Maybe that's a question for John.
Open space-wise, we have to continue to meet the zoning, the 80% zoning,
okay.
Which that's why I wanted to explain. We're actually not using the whole footprint.
Right.
We're reducing it. We're just skinning it up. And then within the condo association, again, the provision doesn't talk about open space as much as they allow you to go in 15 feet into Track A. And the nice thing is we don't have any buildings on this side where there's any sort of fire separation issue between, you know, there's not another parcel next to us where there's becomes a fire separation issue. So we're able to do it on that southeast side.
Okay. So you still study the modifications to open space just in the at that building parcel. You don't have to go. So say you're adding space and you have to add parking stalls. Do you have to evaluate it for the entire site or
parking?
So in terms of parking, yeah, we have to make sure that the school itself meets the parking requirements,
okay.
And the office development separately on its own does. But in terms of open space, it's a percentage of the entire site.
And then does your site plan, I assume this is showing the preferred footprint?
Oh, no, sorry. That's the footprint of the parcels, the existing buildings.
Well, when your shaded buildings appear to be showing the
so
attachment to
I think it. I think we have a slightly different site plan that compared to that one.
Yeah, I was just curious.
At least in our packet.
So these are your pieces of open space that you're grabbing?
That site plan, I should stand at the mic. That site plan is not accurate to the preferred scheme. Okay. So you see the property line, that's the parcel, which is this whole footprint on this drawing.
Sure.
So we're actually not taking out the full width this direction, which you saw in that three-dimensional diagram.
Right.
We're just coming out, and more than anything is to get a stair and then a walkway around the gym.
Right.
So it's a skinnier element.
And can I ask a question of the board, since you have to indulge me because I'm new? So do we discuss materials at this stage, or does that come later?
Okay. Typically not, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Is it all? Nolan?
I didn't have any questions for the applicant.
Okay. Dave?
Could you go to the slide that shows the three versions?
Yes.
I'd like to understand a little further the fire safety and where we might have blank walls in these different.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So on alternative one, we tried to show you, you know, very conceptually transparency versus blank walls, not because this is where the design will end up, but just to show you this issue, which is on alternative one, where we took the whole width of the parcel to the northwest on the upper floors.
Right.
So this wall would not be able to have many, if any, openings.
Okay.
But by pulling it back, then we have the opportunity to have glass.
The north wall? Is there any issue on the north wall?
No, and most likely we're going to concentrate any glazing towards this corner. To respond to the comments, there's not much to look at in this building, and really it's behind the backstop of the basketball court, so you really just want that to be padded. And we think we can get ample light to the classrooms on this northwest corner.
And the gym itself will have windows?
It will have some windows. It won't have this amount of windows.
Yeah.
We want it to be naturally daylit as much as possible.
And could you explore any other? I understand on alternative three, I think our material said that the treatment of the horizontal coverage going out and then going up and around is to sort of break up the massing.
Yeah, and we need to
explore
that some more. But so we're doing a couple of things here. One is we're pulling back the massing at the ground level, which is hard to see in this diagram, providing the canopy. Really, this canopy is the most important canopy.
Right.
We're just looking at ways to maybe give a little articulation. So this is the gym volume here. And we're really kind of constrained. If we tried to pull back any of this mass, we wouldn't have a safe gym. So we're, as a design team, we're exploring ways to give some articulation, break down the scale a little bit, give a little bit of weather protection to those windows. But
in terms of the upper piece coming out, have you explored other? You've got other things you're looking at, or
we will need to. Yeah. Do you have any ideas?
So, and then on alternative three, what does the yellowish color represent there?
We were just trying to give a little life to the
the blank color in the building.
The blank drawings. Yeah. We will come back to you with full
material. It's premature, but is there an indication in terms of how this building will fit in with the other buildings and intent in terms of materials used? I mean, just give us a hint as to where this is heading.
Yeah, I mean, we want it to fit into the campus. The campus right now, if you recall, has metal and some brick and some storefront. We, as I mentioned, we have some budget constraints. We need to get the most out of the least with this project for them to build this building. So I'm guessing it's going to be looking at some metal siding, some things that are durable and cost-effective, but maybe look at some different panels to give some visual breakup of those. Maybe look at how we deal with the windows to give some life to the window system. Do you have any other thoughts and ideas we should explore?
I was just wondering if there's likely to be any brick in this one.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
guess that's all I have.
Is that it? Okay. I've got just a couple of quick questions. Part of it's my ignorance. I have no idea what the enrollment of Eastside Prep is. And a corollary, does this building allow an increase in enrollment, or is this just really to...
I'll translate for Jeff into the mic, but do you want to... $320 next year is the anticipated.
And that's grades 7 through?
5 through 12.
Okay. Oh, does this allow an increase in enrollment? I mean, is this...
It's really an increase in amenity space. It's not designed to go to schools or intended.
Yeah, so just to get it into the microphone. So Bob just mentioned that They're looking at capping their enrollment at 350. This building is actually replacing some classrooms in those existing buildings, 1920. And then really it's the added gym is the significant added element. They are gaining some classroom space, but more than anything it's to improve their classroom space.
Okay.
And then get the gym facility.
So,
and really to give us a really good working science workshop space for the kids, so they'll have on that ground floor, they'll have a Maker's Lab with 3D printers, they'll have a physics lab, and they'll be able to do more hands-on type science, where before they're in an office park that are just boxes inside of boxes, and this will give us an opportunity to have two real functioning science lab spaces.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to repeat that? So just to repeat, 320 is what the board has kept their student enrollment.
Okay. And I guess kind of a corollary question would be, is this something that's being looked at kind of almost as a master planning aspect and thinking, oh, well, if we do 19 and 20 now in X number of years, we'll, take 15 and 16 and redo those and take advantage of the greatly increased zoning density that allows much taller buildings than the little, one-story woody brick ups, if you will.
Right. We have not studied expansion. This project's going fast enough that we're trying to keep up with that. But,
okay.
But I don't know if you guys know.
There's a certain magic to the size that we are, mm-hmm. And really being in that 3 to 350 number and less than 18 kids a class is always a maximum. So the intention on that original footprint is not to grow any bigger. If we were to grow bigger than that, we would need to potentially look at buying other buildings as well.
Okay. Last question I have is with the new gym, is this home games? I mean, is this just for student use only that isn't involving, visiting teams coming in with their entourage of fans and all of that?
Cool. Don't have a huge sports culture at Eastside Prep. We have a boys and girls basketball team, and we have a girls volleyball team right now. We have played all of our games in our 11-year history at everybody else's gym, and we would love to be able to host our own home basketball games and volleyball games. But we, we have never have had more than like 20 kids at an event. So we're part of the, the WIAA Interscholastic League.
Oh, yeah. Well, the gym will be limited in occupancy, being on the third floor. They're not intending it to be a high occupancy facility, so it'll be limited to under 500 people. It'll be limited to 475, and we're working with their building department as we get in front of them for permit.
So bleacher seating, at least on one side?
They'll be maybe portables,
but
not built-in bleachers.
Okay. That was all the questions I have.
I do actually have one.
Okay,
one
Eric?
I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
And it relates to you mentioned the slope of the site. From the commons to the sport court, what is that elevation change that would be along your sort of northwest edge?
I think to the sports court, to the commons, is about 10 to 12 feet.
Okay, so in those views, there'd be a grade change.
There is, yeah. And so... we just wanted to simplify it for you.
Sure.
Actually, the scale of this building will be a little less than what you see here because you will be up above. We're making it look like you're right at the entry level of this floor, but the commons is actually 8 to 10 feet above this level. And let me find a photo for you. And just we just wanted to keep it simple in terms of the diagrams. So can you start to get a sense here that you're going down to this? This is an 8 foot high window, so I guess you're about 6 feet above.
I see, and so yeah. That's the front entry. And then from there, another 8 to 10 feet to the...
So it, no, it goes down, from here it goes down maybe another 4 to 5 feet, so a total of probably 10 to 11 feet from the sports court.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about, in the very back?
Yeah, I just was trying to understand the sectional.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of grade change just to get up to the first floor from the play court, and then probably about 6 feet from our finished floor to this finished floor.
Okay.
Thanks. Yes. I mean, is that must be those.
Yeah.
And then this big set there, that's what I'm...
Yeah, right.
Presuming. Okay.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, Susan.
So, Jeff, back to the limitation on windows, it appears that it would be the three sides of the Building 19 portion, and then the southeast side of 20 that you actually can have more windows. Is that right? And I'm curious if your models are really depicting the full extent of glazing you're anticipating or not.
Let me see if I understand your question. So it's this portion right here.
Right, that's
where we
restricted,
have
right?
The restricted portion.
And
anything beyond that building, we have rain, full rain. And then, so we have more ability to have windows in this corner
because
where
the
building's
the
not directly
comments.
Adjacent.
Okay.
And then we have full rain.
Okay.
So
does
that make sense?
In your models, then, are we seeing an anticipated area of, you know, glazing and solid, or is that not?
No, it's definitely more diagrammatic. I don't
okay.
think we can.
That's all I need to know.
But
yeah. It's a code fire separation issue. Percentage of openings relative to the percentage of openings.
It's an imaginary property line in between them, and then
yeah.
you play with that positioning where you
right.
want to,
right.
to your
correct.
Advantage or disadvantage. Okay. I have actually one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave. You.
many of the buildings in that area have what appear to be sort of peaked roofs. And our codes allow you to go up another 8 feet if you do something along that line. Is that part of the intent, or do you need that extra height?
We do not need the extra height. We don't need the height bonus. In fact, we're looking at ways to try to scale this down and make it as efficient as possible. And part of that's working through the assembly of what the gym floor is between the classroom and then making sure we have the appropriate height for the sporting events. And then making sure that our mechanical is properly screened. So,
I guess one last. Just looking at the way that it's plotted in with the hotel and the office building, can you go to the picture of your preferred diagrams?
Oh, yeah.
Portion of this will be showing then from like Northrop and 520 over, or will any of it be showing up and over the?
You might see a bit of this.
And so will it be the corner of the building that will show through?
From the freeway?
Yeah.
If you see it, you would see it above the, it'd be up in the tree canopy, maybe a little bit above. Well, it's not too dissimilar in height to the hotel, La Quinta. Okay. It's a little bit taller than the office building. But it would be more this orientation.
Okay, so it's going to be fairly hidden. It's not going to be...
Yeah, it's not...
How about from 38th?
From 38th, it's... Sorry, I've probably given everyone a headache here. Well, this doesn't really show... It's pretty buried back there. You kind of have to get through these buildings. You might see, you know, our what we see as the kind of main corner of the building, that main entry point. You might see a little bit of that from 38th as you're turning in.
Any other questions from the board? Okay. I guess we can begin our deliberation or discussion amongst ourselves. Any questions to staff at all? Okay. You want to start?
I guess one question
okay.
to staff is, given that this is somewhat of a unique condition relative to what we've reviewed in the past, it's not in a downtown sort of more public location. It may be open to the public, but it's campus. What are the guidelines that we're using to evaluate the project?
Well, in general, it's just the Yarrow Bay Business District guidelines. And you're right, not all of them will apply. I looked through them last week. A lot of them had to do with, you know, kind of the pedestrian and retail nature and how, which would apply more for the downtown. But I think we'd have to just be careful in terms of, well, for sure, we can look at the modulation guidelines, bulk and mass mitigation. I interpreted the pedestrian-oriented guidelines to deal more with the students and how the buildings would interact with students in that sense. And then, of course, the open space and landscaping, that's open to any kind of project. So
the guidelines here are, it is intended to become a pedestrian-oriented business district, but I think the tracts that we're talking about almost until that changes probably precludes that kind of orientation to 38th in the foreseeable future for on this side of 38th. The other side would probably happen more quickly over time with the park and ride project and maybe expansion of PACCAR and other buildings.
That's one of the questions. What extent of growth for the school would trigger a new master plan?
Well, a master plan is not a requirement of this zone. For example, like Evergreen Hospital, it's a requirement of the zoning to have a master plan that looks at the entire campus. So in this sense, it's almost like if it really depends on the school and how they want to approach. If they want to do a master plan approach and kind of do all the review up front all at once, that's fine. But if it sounds like that's not their goal, and then if that's the case, then as they expand, then we'd have to come back to the DRB at each stage, which is fine as well. So
can maybe in terms of when I heard you say master plan, I think you have maybe a private condominium that is controlling the site layout more than city regulations. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because of the different owners and the way that platting and the tract, because like, for example, if the school wishes to do anything in the tract, for example, landscaping, plazas, they do have to get approval from the condo association. So there is that step that we make sure that they provide us a letter of approval.
If this building was so the school could grow to 500 students, mm-hmm. that's all allowed, and there's no no process that use or change.
Well, there'd be other. We'd look at the other factors that could constrain that, right? Traffic related, parking.
It's different than, like, most of Kirkland's public schools are in residential zones, which above a certain size triggers a master plan, which goes through a zoning permit process. A school in a business district like this is really the design review board, regardless of the size of it, is the overseer of the process. It's really a design process more than a use permit process. That helps.
Okay. So discussion and deliberation. Eric, do you want to start again?
I could. Okay. I did. One other question did come to mind.
No. Okay. That's
fine. Is so unique. Yeah. And you mentioned the process of the plat revision or some sort of process by which the boundary or the footprint of the building could potentially be modified. And maybe it's a two-part question. Do you feel like there are compromises because of the existing constraints that if there was some simple adjustment would improve the quality of the building or the campus? And is that a process that we as a board can help with to supporting a direction for a revision, or?
Well, I really think the covenant we're making use of, where we're able to go into track A to get more width in the gym, to get access around the gym, is really what we need to do the project right. So that, and we believe we have the support of the PUD on that. So other than that, in terms of, we don't really want to get into the realm of plot modifications. It requires a full consensus, I believe, of the whole PUD. And even any expansion, if they want to ever buy another building in the PUD, I think they need full consensus to potentially buy another building. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, with that in mind, I thought that the way you resolved that edge and the programmatic requirements at that level was very clever. And overall, I think that alternative three is a very intriguing direction, and I would support that direction before further development.
Scott?
I think that your alternative three is great. My notes on it, and not to get too picky at this point since it's just the initial phase, is the upper soffit connected to the lower soffit is not my favorite, but I mean it is still in the conceptual phase, so my only, especially when it was up there as opposed to on the paper down here, it looked like a snake running around the building. And I would say, you know, your comment about using metal, I actually think that that would update the look of that park. I think the brick is a little bit dated in the existing building, so material usage, I think, is going to be key to kind of update the entire look of the project.
Okay. Susan?
I agree with all the comments made. In terms of looking at things from the point of view of the Arrow Bay Business District, as we said, this is actually very unique and probably wasn't on people's radar when that business district guideline was done, because it was really about 38th and a pedestrian experience there and connections through to the park and ride, and I think also up to the corridor. And it's not up to you guys to make that kind of connection on the campus, but at the same time, I went over there to look at it, and it seems pretty, it's hard to walk from the school. It appears to be difficult to walk from the sidewalk into the main center of the school and also access the park and ride from the school. And I don't know, you know, this may be a city issue, not a school issue, but I think that if there's any way to enhance those connections for your population as well as the neighborhood, little by little, as you improve the campus, that would be something valuable.
Nolan?
Again, probably just echoing everyone else's comments. I like alternative three the best. I think it does a lot to address that southeast side of the building, as well as the, you know, connecting with the commons area and that main walkway through there. I think that having that elongated covered walkway there makes it much more appealing from the pedestrian level. The only comment I would have is, and I know you'll explore this more when you come back, that southern wall to me still sticks out as, and I know it's, at first I was thinking that would be a big blank wall sticking up there on the hill, but after we spent a little more time looking at some of the photos around the area, I know it will be relatively blocked, but it seems like there's a lot of opportunity there to do something to mitigate that large space. So,
okay. Dave?
So I think all three alternatives address pedestrian-oriented space and plazas and connections. I'm fine with alternative three. I was worried about blank walls appearing and learning a little bit more about the fire code requirements, etc. I think that's important to move away from blank walls as much as we can. I'm a little on alternative three. I'm also not thrilled with the vertical piece on the face, but that's we'll see how that goes. And finally, I'd be a little concerned about. I find the campus now gives a quality appearance to me, at least. And I'd be wary of. I'd be disappointed if cost considerations had it go too far towards utilitarian. So that's it.
Okay. My comment, I think looking at the massing, I think alternative three does seem to be the most fleshed out at this point and workable. I'm sort of, when I looked at it, I was kind of in my mind trying to think, okay, where's the gym? The gym is a unique volume, and I know it kind of overlaps a little here and then a little bit over there. I'd like to see maybe that piece stand out as really unique and saying this is a gym up here on this floor that's different from classrooms, circulation, those kind of things. Just sort of taking advantage of the opportunity to make it, you know, clear that that's what's up there at that level. Some of the images you were presenting here was the Greg's Bike Shop on Bellevue Way, and I think was that Kenmore City Hall, the new Kenmore City Hall there. Pretty high-tech industrial, you know, look with lots of glass and, you know, exposed structure and elements like that. Kind of picking up on Dave's comment a little bit, I mean, I sort of look at the red brick and of the existing office park as sort of that Bassetti-esque that you see at UW a little bit and certainly a lot at Western. And if there's a way just to kind of make that sort of transition and leap, saying, you know, we're going to go to admittedly less expensive construction than individual, you know, bricks laid up, but just enough of it to sort of connect visually from that vantage point when we come in off of 38th, and you do see the upper portion of the gym volume down that circulation slot. Just something there that sort of that appears to be the key vantage point from that north side of the campus. And then just working like crazy with figuring out how to deal with the slope transitions and the grade transitions. Obviously, when you come back, I think the alternative three images that we see show these really nondescript brick buildings with the standing seam, you know, little shed roofs. And we'll see those in much greater detail so that it lets us make that visual leap of how are they connected visually as well as at the ground plane. So that's all I had at this point. Anybody else, anything further, deliberation or comments?
I guess one additional comment, and it shows in view two of alternative three, is that at the southwest corner, the building is very close. It appears to be very close to the fire lane, if the curb line that's in that view is accurate.
We drew it the way it is at the moment, but once we excavate for the building, because we're not going to shore to save money, we'll have to rebuild that curb line. And because it's just a fire lane and it was designed as access lane plus parking before, we have a little flexibility with the design of that. So
reroute that,
make it more gracious around the build. Yes, exactly.
I take it back. I had one other comment, and I know this will come up as we get further on in the process, but this large volume is going to cast some pretty definite shadows across that beloved commons, that outdoor patio, especially in the morning. I mean, obviously, once we get past solar noon, we'll get past the building a little bit, but I just, you know, this commons, it's been sort of exposed to, certainly when the deciduous trees aren't fully leafed out, lots and lots of sunshine earlier in the mornings, and just an acknowledgement of that, and is that something that that we're aware of, and that if there's any way to deal with it, I guess. Because it's going to stand out like all of a sudden, boom, here's this big thing amongst the little, I call them the bricky walk-ups that are...
So most of the morning, any shadow will come from the commons itself, the commons building. It's actually, you have this two-story building.
Okay.
The commons is right here in the middle.
So it's more at noon...
Past noon.
The 2 or 3 hours either side of noon, it's really going to cast. Okay.
So maybe a little shadow study.
Yeah, a little shadow study. Susan?
Yeah, for this fire lane, are you guys able to change the paving on that so it has some, it's multi-use, so it could be used for outdoor space?
It is supposed to be multi-use, okay. Yeah.
All the way, not just the, I guess...
It's an extension of the play area, the play outdoor play court.
So kids can take advantage of this big...
Yeah.
Are there bollards there today, then? Presumably, if people are playing basketball there...
Yes.
There are?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Those are too dark. You can kind of see there's a...
Oh, there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the bus parking stays in that... reconfigured fire lane, or you mentioned
it. Well, it's a little bit farther up.
Oh,
the buses don't park in the fire lane.
Oh, they don't? Okay.
Students only.
Okay.
I don't know. It might be nice in the next round to show perspectives at a little greater distance so we actually see the slopes and how the buildings are relating to the slopes.
Mm-hmm.
Do we give guidance for what we'd like to see?
Yeah,
we sure do. Yeah, we can ask for just about anything within reason. So with that in mind, at this point, it sounds like the preferred alternative 3 seems to be a near full majority unanimous in that respect. What would be our request for the next visit? Susan, you have some... Okay, sure.
So I would say a perspective view from 38th Place Northeast, siding to the southwest, down through your commons and picking up the corner that you've been showing us. And then probably to your question, how the view of the southeast corner between the office building and La Quinta, whatever people are going to be seeing from that side.
Here.
Yeah, I think the public will want to see how the scale fits in relative to the two buildings. And then I think a series of elevations, rendered elevations that pick up the existing buildings and then yours to show us how you're going to blend the new materials with the existing and have something new and yet compatible.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
A rendered campus or a rendered site plan with the topography and some detail around the building about the relationship to the commons and to the sport court and how it fits into the site.
The generation of the 3D stuff that we see here, is that software-wise, is that something you can make sort of interactive and that you can not only give us what Susan says, obviously not fully rendered in realistic, but certainly, throw up some 2D trees and make stuff quick and fast and say, look at it from here versus there and, walk toward the commons. Is that feasible?
We can do our best.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, is SketchUp or?
Probably SketchUp.
Okay. All right. With Eric's comment, too, if it's possible to do real, not crusty, but just something 3D that shows us the elevation changes and roughly where the existing steps are. We can kind of gather a little bit from the site plan. You sort of count the number of risers and get a sense from that, but it'd be really handy to know.
Probably also just the beginning of your landscape plan and how the building is, you're going to landscape around it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty typical stuff for a design response conference, correct? I mean, is that what we're, that's what we're talking, just more detail?
Yeah, they'll be required to do the standard elevation drawings straight on, and then what I'm hearing is additional perspectives. Mm-hmm. Is it okay, Tim, if I just...
Sure,
okay.
Yeah.
Additional perspectives, making sure that they include the slopes view from 38th at the entry through the commons, showing that, I guess, the prominent corner there. A view from north up between the buildings, between La Quinta and the office buildings there. Making sure to include the existing Eastside Prep buildings as part of these perspectives. Include the site plan with more details on with topo and relationship with the commons and the basketball court. And then the landscape plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus your sun.
Yeah.
The shadow study. Yep.
If the SketchUp, that's pretty easy to do, if it's reasonably. All of us are very adept at reading the site plan with just spot elevations, and you know that's pretty easy to make that leap for us. It doesn't have to be over the top time and effort spent on that, I think.
And then in terms of the actual direction on the building design, so I just want to confirm it's alternative 3. Concerns I heard were blank wall treatment, making sure those blank walls are mitigated. I also heard in terms of the design of the gym to somehow create an identity, something to make the gym stand out in terms of an architectural.
That was my only thing. I don't know if anybody else concurs or.
I think it's just right now it's not apparent. You have a lot of those uses, and how are they going to manifest on the facade of the building? Or right now they don't, and is that.
So what was that, Susan?
Well, I think this. Just a suggestion. Gym up high, but then spaces down below that you assume will have windows. I think it's going to be an interesting design study. We'll look forward to seeing it when it comes back, because gym tends to be closed. And yet it's the largest piece on the top of the building, which is kind of counterintuitive to what we usually expect.
So are we concluding that's just a suggestion that you'll
look at? It's an opportunity, certainly.
Okay. And then in terms of building materials, I heard that I think it was the use of the metal to update the materials, but then also to have some reference back to the brick. Maybe if you could clarify that for the applicant.
Possibly. I mean, that was mine.
Okay. I think that's fine. I mean, I'm concerned about going too utilitarian, which is not the impression I get with existing buildings, personally.
Yeah. And I think a campus sometimes wants to have a little cohesion, mm-hmm. material-wise, although this certainly is the newest, freshest building there, and it... the opportunities there to make something, truly creative. I mean, luckily, in your favor, you've got the La Quinta to work off of.
One thing I will say on that, though, in cohesion, there is a lot of metal in all of those buildings, and you're going to get your cohesion. And one thing I would be really careful of is the brick is dated, and I don't know if I'd incorporate that particular brick to try and tie it together.
It is that mutual materials, probably 1980.
Yeah.
We all probably.
Gosh, I guess I'm dated.
Sorry.
I don't think you're providing specific direction. You're just looking for continuity and materials that gives it that campus feel.
There is, Scott, you're right. There's a ton of that standing seam, mansard sort of stuff that's there. So. Yeah, I think, John, I think that was.
More recently updated.
Okay. And what, does anybody know the name of that office building, the one that has that huge plunge down in underneath it that's... I saw Eagle Mortgage on it some years back. I have no idea if that's what it still is.
I don't know if it's still there.
It's a totally nondescript office building that is, again, that's what you're sort of working off of, that slot, view through from north of.
We're not suggesting that they need to take their inspiration from maybe the office.
Well, I'm just saying that with that as a background, easy improvement.
I have one last question,
yes.
Just to clarify. Are there any additional key vantage points from which you want to either have the architect focus on or view the project from, other than the main entry at 38th?
I'd say 38th, and but also since 520 is right there, if we can get one that just you can see from, because it's so much higher.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a view looking east from the sport court in that kind of southwest quadrant of open space would be interesting, because there is a real opportunity along the fire lane, redefining that edge through probably landscape, of creating a very strong, nice edge to that campus.
I think that's a good point. I think from the rest of it, though, it's really very hidden and mm-hmm. not, you know, there's, I don't think the building is very impactful for the most part on the surrounding neighborhood, and certainly not from the north.
Although, it's going to stick up above any deciduous tree that's there, I think, now.
I think it's about. There's 100-foot poplars that line the boundary of the property.
On the southwest side. However, the new TOD development's going to have a new view of this, and from the parking garage, a new view of this sticking up above the deciduous that nobody's seen yet. Yeah, which is, you know, possibility to consider.
The perspective view number two on alternative three with the vertical yellow slot, it does seem to suggest the possibility that there might be something visible from Northup Way that signals that something's happening. There's mm-hmm. There might be, maybe there's a clue in there about, mm-hmm. obviously you're thinking about some ways to treat that wall that have a scale to them that could be read from this street.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions from the applicant on what we've given as direction?
No. That's
okay.
Thank you.
And at this point, we just wait and schedule the design response conference when they're ready to come back, correct? Okay. Okay. I believe there's no other administrative anything else, and there are no comments from the audience. Is that correct? Anything else?
They support the project.
They support the project, yes. Okay. Anything else we need to do, Jeremy or John? Okay. Hereby adjourned. Oh, I guess we have to have a motion to adjourn. Or do I just
so moved.
Second. Moved and seconded that we adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Hereby adjourned.